It is indeed.
All right, our first public hearing is subdivision 2022-26, Ballinger subdivision, formerly known as Warrington.
This is a cluster subdivision to divide 53.54 acres plus or minus into 106 single-family lots to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The properties are lying on the south side of Holly Mount Road, which is Sussex County Route 48, approximately 0.4 mile east of Beaver Dam Road, which is Route 23. The 911 address is 30558 Holly Mount Road, Harbison, and the tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 11, Parcel 103.00 and 103.00. The zoning district is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit book and the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan. We have a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C written response. We have a copy of the staff review letter. We have a copy of the State Plus comments and the applicant's response to the State Plus comments. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We also have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response, and we have the technical advisory committee responses, including a response to the United States Department of Agriculture. I would note we have received zero comments. Thank you.
All right, sir, and the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Mr. Chairman, I just do want to mention you may be testing my concentration ability today.
Well, you know, Mr. Fuquay, I had some thoughts about that earlier, and I really think maybe you ought to wear this hat while you're giving your presentation. What do you think?
Well, keeping with that theme, I know Jamie, in the interest of Christmas spirit, only scheduled two public hearings for you today, which I thought is keeping with the holiday season. Just to add a little bit of Grinch to it, I represent both the applicants. Anyway, good afternoon. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I am the attorney representing the applicant, Ribera Development LLC. With me are John Stamato on behalf of the applicant, Mark Davidson, the principal land planner, and Alan Dechter, senior engineer, both with Pannoni Associates. An exhibit book was submitted for the record containing relevant information about the application, including a Section 99-9C subdivision report and the applicant's plus response. This is an application for an AR1 cluster subdivision containing 106 single-family lots and recreational amenities. Jamie, can you put up the aerial map? The parcel is located on the south side of Holly Mount Road. It's about 1.1 miles west of Holly Mount Road and Route 24. The site contains 53.5 acres. The area surrounding the site consists of agricultural lands, woodlands, and a number of residential developments. Falcon Crest the Independence Development are just west of the site. That's Falcon Crest Subdivision, as you can see to the left there. The Holly Lake Campsite Development is to the south of the site. The Spring Breeze Subdivision is directly across Holly Mount Road from the site on the north. And then immediately to the east are the River Oak Subdivision and River Wood Subdivisions, which are just beginning development. And again, they border this site on its eastern side. The 53-acre parcel is zoned AR1. It's located in the low-density area under the Comprehensive Plan's future land use map. The Comprehensive Plan recognizes that agricultural uses and single-family homes are permitted uses in the low-density area, and that a cluster option subdivision is permitted in a low density area, providing that the density does not exceed two lots per acre, and that public sewers are utilized, and that significant open space is set aside. Again, the AR1 section of the zoning ordinance permits cluster development in that zone, subject to the commission approving the superior design requirements of the zoning ordinance. Jamie, if you can put it back up, that site plan that was there. As to the specifics of this proposed subdivision, central water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Artesian Water Company.
Real quick, excuse me just for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, your attention needs to be up here. If you need to have a side conversation, please do it in the lobby. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Again, central water will be by Artesian Water Company. Central sewer will be provided by Artesian Wastewater Company. They already provide sewer services in the area. There will be a new pump station constructed, which will be a shared cost of the applicant and the developers of the River Oaks and River Wood developments. Artesian is in the application process of obtaining a certificate of public convenience and necessity from the Delaware Public Service Commission to serve the development. Stormwater management facilities will be designed and constructed in accordance with Denrec's current stormwater regulations. They will be reviewed and approved by the Sussex Conservation District. A soil study was performed by Accent Engineering to assist in the location of the stormwater management ponds. There was a wetland delineation that was done by Pannoni Associates. That study determined that there were no tidal or federally regulated non-tidal wetlands located on the site. Under the FEMA flood insurance rate maps, the entire site is located in Zone X unshaded, which is an area that's outside of the 500-year floodplain. As to traffic impact, Delaware indicated that in accordance with its development coordination manual, it would accept an area-wide study fee in lieu of a traffic impact study. In addition, DelDOT will require the following: a dedication of right-of-way along the site frontage on Holly Mount Road to provide a 40-foot right-of-way from the road center line, a 15-foot-wide permanent easement along the site's road frontage, contribution as determined by DelDOT to the traffic signal revolving fund, interconnection easements to the two adjacent subdivisions, and improvements to Holly Mount Road to meet DelDOT functional classification standards for that road classification. And that would be along the frontage right to that curve on the right there. As to the subdivision design, as I said, the development will have 106 single-family lots. That is a density of 1.97 lots per acre, which complies with the permitted density for an AR1 cluster subdivision. The lots vary in size from 7,514 square feet as the smallest lot to 16,144 square feet as the largest lot. The average lot size is 8,555 square feet. The entrance to the development will be from Holly Mount Road. The entrance will be designed and constructed in compliance with DelDOT requirements. The streets will be private, built to Sussex County Engineering Department specifications. There will be sidewalks on both sides of the development streets with shielded non-intrusive street lighting. There is a recreational area consisting of a clubhouse, pool and deck, and a tot lot, which is located to the south end of the development. There is also a walking trail that basically encircles that interior stormwater pond and connects out to the interior road. It's proposed that the recreational features would be constructed and open for use by the residents prior to the issuance of the 53rd certificate of occupancy, or 50%. The perimeter of the development provides a minimum 50-foot agricultural buffer in which no homes can be located. There is also a 30-foot wooded or landscape buffer adjacent to lands in agricultural use as required by the superior design requirements. And there's a 20-foot wooded or landscape buffer adjacent to other lands. There's also a landscape buffer and open space along the development's frontage on Holly Mount Road on either side of the entrance. A school bus stop location will be coordinated with the local school district. The site currently contains 29.5 acres of woodlands. 16.44 acres will be removed with the remaining 13.11 acres being preserved. So from the existing woods on the site, 44% of the existing woodland will be preserved, which you can see is on the southern portion and the eastern portion of the site. The open space, as that is defined in the zoning ordinance, will total 28.01 acres. That is 52.3% of the entire site, and more than 30% of the open space consists of contiguous tracts of open space that are adjacent to farmlands or other woodlands. The community will have a homeowners association made up of all lot owners. The association will be responsible for enforcing the community restrictions, collecting assessments, and maintaining the development streets, entrance buffers, landscaping, stormwater facilities, recreational amenities, and any other community common areas. The site is in the Cape Henlopen School District and in the Indian River Fire Company Fire Service area. I will submit for your consideration proposed findings and conditions. In conclusion, the proposed 106-lot cluster subdivision, as I stated, is a permitted use in the AR1 zoning district. The site of the proposed development borders the River Oaks 85-lot cluster subdivision and the Riverwood 117-lot cluster subdivision, and the development is in character with the uses in the area. And the subdivision was designed in accordance with the cluster design requirements, and that did result in 52% of the site being designated as either active or passive open space, including over 13 acres of preserved woodlands. So with that, that would conclude my presentation, other than any questions that the commission may have.
All right, sir, thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Wingate.
I don't have any questions. I'd just like to make a couple comments. I appreciate the proposed interconnection. And I'd really love to see those trees that you have on that rendering be what the final is for the edge of the access road there. Yeah, the buffer. Nice big trees like that.
Mears?
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Collins?
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
White House?
None for me, thank you.
Council?
None for me, thanks.
Staff on this end, anybody?
None from me, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. All right, Ms. Fuqua, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2022-26, Ballinger Subdivision, formerly known as Warrington? In favor?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir, come on up. Give us your name. You may have the floor. No, you're good.
Okay. My name's John Novosel. My wife Linda and I live 30363 Hollymount.
Uh-huh.
We've been there several years. We're building a new home two doors down, 30425. I'm in support of the subdivision. I think our industry is based on tourism and construction of houses. Housing, it provides a basis of continuing appreciation for us homeowners that are here. I'm from Youngstown, Ohio. We had a steel industry that supported for decades. My father, my uncle's jobs, Clean Air Act came in. Youngstown did not adapt. Instead, the population went from 200,000 to now about 80,000. People moved away. The housing industry collapsed. I would not like to see that happen here by restricting new home subdivision. Our industry is tourism and housing, and I'm in favor of anything that continues to provide a basis, a support for the existing homes that that we live in.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, anyone else like to speak in favor? All right, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2022-26? Anyone like to speak in opposition? All right, then.
Mr. Chairman, there was someone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, come on up.
Hello, my name is Noreen Beam, and I am 30818 Holly Mount Road. I'm also known as the property owner, the triangle in the middle of the cornfield and the woods, and I'm just trying to acclimate myself as to where I'm actually located there and want to know if there is who my contact person would be to ask all of the questions I have that will affect me. I'm not opposed or in favor, I'm just still in questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you may ask those questions now if you like, or you may wish to contact the Planning and Zoning Office at some future time if you don't wish to have them answered now.
And I would also add that the applicant's team are these folks that spoke. So at the conclusion of the hearing, as Mr. Wheeler would like to say, I would certainly exchange information with them because they're the folks that you're going to need to talk to or get in touch with as a result of talking to them.
Like, will this affect my well? Will this affect my driveway? And I just have a lot of questions. I don't know that.
If I could just add, Mr. Stamato is here. He's the guy you want to talk to.
Okay.
So when the hearing's over, I'm
sure. You meet up out in the lobby and get to know each other.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're really welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? I'm sorry. I didn't turn my head far enough, apparently. I'm sorry. Anyone? Yes, sir. Come on up. Yeah. Y'all, don't be bashful. Stick that hand up nice and high where I can see it, okay?
I'm Rick Hockersmith. I live at 30700 Holly Mount Road.
Yes, sir.
And my concern is the traffic. Hmm. It is so congested now, which it never used to be. I've been there over 20 years.
Yeah.
And when you get another 106 houses, then you're probably looking at double, what, maybe 212 cars coming out of there at a time. And that's my big concern right there.
Okay.
It's congested, you know, really bad now with tractor trailers and all kind of stuff going on. But that's my concern.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Yes, sir, come on up.
Thank you. My name is Jan Kratz. I live at 30710 Holly Mountain Road.
Yes, sir.
I have the same concerns with the traffic. That road doesn't have a shoulder. There's, you know, there's just nowhere for people to go if they have to go off the road. The more building we get around there, the more traffic gets to be. I think they're bringing the ox before the cart. There's cart before the ox, I guess you'd say.
I understand.
You know, the roads, I don't think we need all this building in Sussex County. Doubled, even tripled the amount of building that goes on in this county compared to other counties in the state. So I think it's just a little bit too much.
All right, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Anyone else? Yes, sir. Come on up. Going once, twice. Okay, anyone on the commission have any further comments or questions?
No, sir.
Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the day to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2401 OA Sundance Club LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily units, 180 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 48.36 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the northeast corner of Old Mill Road, which is Route 349, and the southwest corner of Railway Road, which is Sussex County Route 350, at the intersection of Railway Road and Old Mill Road. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 134. map 12, parcel 74.01. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan and a copy of the colour rendering. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of the PLOS comments for the application. We have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment report. We have a copy of the previous approval, which is conditional use number 2206 for this parcel, including a copy of the minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of March 25th of 2021. And I would note, in total, we have received 5 written comments, and they are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Mr. Fuquay.
Again, good. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay, and I represent the applicant, OA Sundance Club, LLC. With me is Preston Shell of Ocean Atlantic Companies, Mark Davison, and Alan Dechter. I think Mark just left, but he'll be back in. And Ben Gordy, also with Ocean Atlantic. An exhibit book, as stated, was submitted for your review. This is a conditional use application for 180 multifamily residential units. The units will be single-family detached condominium units in an over 55 age-restricted community. This application is rather unique in that this site was already approved as a conditional use and has received final site plan approval for a 200-unit multifamily development in 17 multifamily apartment-type buildings. As I said, it already has final approval for that. And quite simply, really, today's application is really proposing 3 modifications to that original conditional use and site plan approval. First, rather than the large multifamily unit buildings, the applicant is proposing single-family detached condominium units. And as you know, both types of units are defined as multifamily dwellings under the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. Second, there was a 2.25-acre parcel that was located on the other side of Railway Road, and that's been removed from this application today. That parcel is separated from the development itself by a road, so it's not part of this application. It's a standalone separate parcel that is not before you today. And third, the already approved 200-unit conditional use is being proposed to reduce that density to 180 units, so it's a reduction in density. So my presentation is going to consist of 2 parts. I want to review the history of the application and then review the modified site plan and the reasons we think that the modified site plan are more appropriate for this location. The property is located at the northwest corner of the intersection of Railway Road and Old Mill Road. The parcel contains 48.36 acres. The majority of which is farmland. There is approximately 3.6 forested acres, and within that forested area is 1.3 acres of non-tidal wetlands, and that's located in the northwest corner of the site, where you can see where the green is on the map showing that wetland area. Jamie, can you switch to the aerial for a second? Can you pull back a little bit? That's good. As I stated, the parcel has frontage on both Railway Road and Old Mill Road. It's adjacent to a wooded parcel to the rear of the site, which you can see on the map. And basically, the remainder of that area surrounding the site is predominantly single-family residential developments. Back in 2010, the property was approved as a conditional use for 200 multifamily units. That approval was subsequently voided for failure to be substantially under construction within the time that was allotted, so that approval was voided. And then back in March of 2021, Commission held a public hearing on a conditional use application filed by Linder and Company for a 200-unit multifamily development that was similar to the conditional use that had been approved in 2010. And that application was designated as CU-2206. Now, at the time of that planning and zoning hearing, Mr. Collins was not on the commission, and if Mr. Butler, if he's watching this or seeing this later, he was not on the commission. So I do want to review that application a little bit. And I also want to mention that neither Ocean Atlantic nor Mr. Shell were involved in that application. They were the purchaser of this property now, and I was not involved in this application either. So anything I say or represent regarding that is from the County Planning and Zoning Commission and County Council minutes and from some newspaper articles that I read. But it certainly appears that it was a very controversial application. As the other commissioners may recall, apparently the public hearing lasted about 5 hours. There was an opposition petition signed by over 1,000 area residents. There were 262 letters in opposition, and there was even an organization called the Evans Farm Watch, made up of representatives of over a dozen area communities that basically spearheaded the opposition. Now, on that actual application, ultimately the commission did recommend approval, and the county council did approve it by a 3-2 vote. And again, so that approval was for 200 units in 17 multifamily buildings with 17 garage buildings that were shown on the perimeter of the site. And again, today's application is to modify that approved development by replacing the large multifamily buildings with single-family detached condominium units and reducing the number to 180. There are several reasons for the proposed change. First, as you know, Ocean Atlantic Companies is an established and experienced local developer. They build single-family and multifamily residential developments, rental communities, and commercial projects. And based on the company's experience and knowledge in Sussex County, it was determined that this site was just not the appropriate location for development of a large multifamily rental type project. While the need for rental housing, and particularly workforce housing, is well established, I think we're all aware of that, such housing does need to be located in the right place, and this location was deemed not to be the right place for several reasons. First of all, the site is not in close proximity to shopping areas or employment centers. The site is not served by public transportation, and the area roads, in particular Railway Road between Old Mill Road and Route 26, is a narrow two-lane road. There's no sidewalks or shoulders, and that would create unsafe conditions for pedestrians walking on that road, and quite frankly, significantly dangerous conditions for bicyclists riding on that road. Additionally, as was noted by the opposition in the prior conditional use application, the large multifamily building project does not fit in and is out of character with the predominantly single-family residential character of the area. And again, I think you can see that from the aerial photo, that is, it's predominantly single-family residential. Jamie, could you switch to the original site plan, the apartment site plan? Yeah, that's it. This is the site. This is the current approved final site plan. Basically, this site plan shows 17 large buildings with 17 garage buildings on the outside perimeter of those buildings. One of the residents who opposed that application, from an article I read, referred to the site plan layout has a circled wagon train design, which I thought was a valid observation. again, everything is kind of centered with almost a military-style feel or compound of the units on the outside surrounding the site. The aesthetic appeal is lacking, and it certainly, I think, is valid to say it's not in character with the existing nature of the area. And then, Jamie, if you can put the new site plan back up. This is a site plan for today's application. Again, it replaces the 17 big box multifamily buildings and garages with 180 single family attached condominiums. And by the way, I just want to mention the rectangles you see in there are not the buildings themselves. The rectangles are actually the typical site envelope. So that's the area in which a building could be located. So it's not as cookie cutter as it looks. That's just showing the buildable area. There actually are a variety of unit types and styles that can be chosen, and also options that purchasers can choose. So there'd be a variety of different styles and appearances within the development. And I think you can see that the modified site plan has the appearance basically of a mini subdivision, but with these single family condominium units rather than the single family homes on individual lots. The modified site plan retains the multifamily use, but with a building design more in harmony with the area and more appropriate in transition from the surrounding areas to the use on this site. And as I said, we all recognize there's a need for rental housing in Eastern Sussex County, but it's also, there's also a need for appropriate housing, such as over 55 communities, for both new and for current older residents. And that's pretty well documented by the increasing older population of Sussex County. The existing 2019 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan notes in the plan itself that the median age of a Delaware resident is 39 years. It's 37 years in Newcastle County, 37 years in Kent County, but it's 47 years in Sussex County. So Sussex County has a median age of 10 years older than Newcastle and Kent County. And in Sussex County, the median age is also much higher in the eastern coastal areas, basically, than in the western areas. And if you look at the census population data from the beach towns and areas such as Long Neck and Ocean View, they report an average median age in those areas of approximately 64 years, meaning that half the population in those areas is older, over 64, which is really quite amazing compared to the general figures for the state. And of course, I'm one of the people that pulls that average up, and so I'm partially responsible. Now, over 55 communities are designed with the needs of older residents in mind. The homes tend to be smaller. They have master bedrooms on the first floor. Accessibility and safety are key design components. Options are available to provide a number of things that would be desirable by older residents. They can be handicap accessible bathrooms, other floor modifications to make the homes more navigable and safer for older residents. Many purchasers include current older residents seeking to remain living in that area where they have been living, but wanting to downsize from their existing larger home and larger yards to a smaller home with less utility and other expenses, and an area where all buildings, lawn maintenance, and things of that nature are taken care of by an owner's association. And the applicant has concluded that this particular site is a much more appropriate location for that type of use and much more compatible with the local uses in the area. Now, as to the development site plan, as I said, the development will contain 180 single-family detached condominium units. That is a density of 3.7 units per acre. That's significantly less than the density that would already be permitted by the existing GR zoning. This parcel is zoned GR, and as I said, it's 20 units less than what had already been approved for this site. The land is located in the coastal area growth zone. That is, as you know, one of the county's growth areas where a range of housing types, including multifamily uses, are appropriate. It's in the state investment level 2 and 3, again, where growth is anticipated by county and state plans. Central water will be provided by Tidewater Utilities, central sewer by Sussex County. The applicant will be responsible for entrance and road improvements as required by DLDOT along the road frontage on both Railway Road and Old Mill Road. And that will include a shared use path along both of those roads. There will be a vegetated or forest buffer at least 20 feet in width installed along the perimeter of the development that's adjacent to land of other ownership. That buffer will be increased. It'll be a minimum of 25 feet along the western boundary line of the site to the rear of units 13 through 31, and that's, I may not have this exactly, but basically that's along here. That'll have the enhanced buffer, and also that enhanced buffer would be in the northeastern corner of the property, right up in here by those residential uses to the west, I think it is. There would also be a landscape buffer to the rear of the homes bordering Railway Road and Old Mill Road. So that would be this landscaping along here and along here. As I mentioned before, there are 1.6 acres of non-title federally regulated wetlands located in that northwest corner of the site. That area will remain undisturbed in its natural wooded state, and there will be a 50-foot buffer established from any home from the wetland line. This site is in Zone X under the FEMA insurance map outside of the floodplain. There are 3.6 acres of woodlands that are located up in that to the northwest corner and along the north line. About 0.39 acres will be removed, so 89% of the existing woodlands will remain as they are now. Stormwater management facilities will be designed and constructed in full compliance with DENREC regulations. There will be a recreational area located near the entrance of the site that will consist of a clubhouse, a pool, and a deck, two pickleball courts, a community garden, and a dog park. And it's proposed that recreational amenity would be completed prior to the issuance of the 90th certificate of occupancy, again, 50%. Sidewalks will be located on one side of all internal streets with shielded street lighting. Each residential unit will have a two-car garage and space for two cars in the driveway. In addition, there will be 47 parking spaces located at the recreational area, 44 regular spaces, and 3 ADA-compliant spaces. As requested by DLDOT, there was an emergency access in the northeast corner of the site, and I think there was required to have lighting along the shared use paths along the roads. As requested by DLDOT, they have been removed. DLDOT did not want the emergency entrance and did not want the lighting on the pathway. So we're acquiescing to DLDOT's request.
Do you have that in writing from them?
I don't have it in writing, but I assume we have that.
Preston Shell with the applicant.
They were potentially going to be here to state their case as to why they hate emergency accesses, but I don't think they are. But we can get it in writing from Todd Sammons. He was the one that reached out to us. They didn't want to approve the original 200-unit apartment plan because it had the emergency access. And we said, look, we're intending to change the plan. Just help us and remove that requirement of not having an emergency access from the 200-unit apartment plan so we can get final site plan approval on it. And we promise you that on our new plan, we will remove the emergency access. And he agreed to that.
So on the original plan that they want it removed from, was it showing the connection into the development with asphalt or something?
Yeah, it was.
Because that's not what we are asking for ever. And I've had conversations with DelDOT too, and they're completely in support with having some kind of emergency access. It doesn't have to be asphalt. In fact, they don't want it to be because they don't want people to use it without right. being an emergency.
Well, we still, if you can see, we still
there's
show
a
the
stub street there that we, there could be.
And that's going to remain.
What we call an emergency access, which is unused, except in an emergency. But the original plan with
showed
the,
an actual asphalt all the way.
Showed a road
right.
coming in.
Okay. And, yes. that, and I'm, yeah. I'm good with that. As long as there's still some means that if the major, the only access in there is blocked, that the emergency access would have, emergency vehicles would have another way to get in.
I think it would be helpful, and maybe, I guess it's not going to happen at this meeting, but for the council meeting, I'm going to ask that DelDOT's here so they can explain, because this isn't the, as you guys know, this is not the only application where this issue
comes up. We've had that round and round conversation with DelDOT, and it just frankly doesn't make any sense, you know?
And the conversations I've had with them, they're like, no, that's not what we mean at all. We totally support having access.
And maybe
access.
It's who we talk to at DelDOT.
I think you just hit a, you just said a mouthful. Mm-hmm. It's really about getting DelDOT to speak with one voice on this subject, because it seems like one person has one vision of what it is, another person has another. You know, we've had this discussion about the fact that we don't want another highway entrance for an emergency entrance. We want an area that will support the weight of an emergency vehicle to be accessible to that emergency vehicle if it's needed. That's all we're looking for. We're looking for a way for them to get, it can have a gate, it can have a, you know, it can be locked, it, you know, it could have a Knox box, it can have whatever, but that's all we were looking for. And if this was 2 years ago, that was back before a lot of those discussions took place too, so maybe it won't be as hard to resolve as we're thinking it will be. And it certainly, since it's the provision is essentially on the plan, I don't think that it prevents us from acting on it in any way.
Yeah,
I think it's there.
And we've actually got some standard language that we've worked out with DelDOT to accommodate finally what we've been doing the whole time, and they keep saying no to. Now once we told them this is all we want, they're like, okay, you know, it's just
just that aggressive.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Who did you guys talk to? At DelDOT.
Without going back and looking, I couldn't be sure. But Todd Sammons was involved in that conversation.
And Pam and Todd. And Pam Steinberg. So.
Yeah. I mean, candidly, we were sort of flabbergasted that DelDOT would say, no, we don't want an emergency access. I mean, we looked at it as a health, safety, and welfare kind of thing, particularly when there was one way in, you know. I think they were jumping to the conclusion that we were requiring a fully engineered, accessible entrance. And we as Ms. Wingate said, we never wanted that. That was never the intention of any of this, and it was never stated that way.
Sounds more like a misunderstanding than a different positions.
An unnecessary misunderstanding.
Again, just for the record, though, I've circled in blue where that stub street is, and obviously it's almost planned for an emergency.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's sufficient for our purposes today.
I guess we shouldn't landscape buffer between the end of the,
Correct. Yeah.
Flowers.
Yeah, something.
Thank you. Okay.
And the one other thing I want to mention, and this is, I think, of considerable importance, the modified site plan does present an appropriate transition design that's more in harmony in appearance with the many single-family developments in the area. I believe this design is much more acceptable and preferred by many of the residents of the area. I certainly don't speak for all the residents in the area. I know there are some of the residents and some of the community people who are present today. I'll let them speak for themselves.
But there was a letter submitted from the Evans Farm Watch, which was the organizational group that is in the record, that did indicate that they found this much more acceptable. The last thing I want to mention, and bear with me, this is just, you know, for the record, I'd like to state some of the findings that the county has already established about this particular property. And this is from the prior conditional use 2206 in 2021. The commission stated a number of reasons for recommending approval. Those reasons were adopted by the county council in approving the application. And I think those reasons equally apply to today's application as it did to the prior application. And basically, it's just the following. And this was basically what the commission stated. The property is currently zoned GR, which provides for medium density residential use with a permitted density of 4 units per acre. The property is in the vicinity of a mixture of residential and commercial zone properties, including GR properties as well as MR zone parcels and C1 zone parcels. A multifamily residential project is consistent with those zoning classifications. The proposed conditional use is appropriate for the site because of central sewer and water is available. The proposed use is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan because it's in the coastal area, which is a growth area. The site is located where medium and higher density is appropriate, and the plan states that a range of housing types should be permitted in the coastal area, including multifamily units. DelDOT reviewed the proposed use and determined under its vehicle trip standards that traffic impact would be minor and the developer will be responsible for road improvements required by DelDOT. I do want to mention there again, we have fewer units than that, and it's also an age-restricted community. And that lastly, the commission stated that under the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance, there is no distinction between a condominium multifamily unit and an apartment multifamily unit.
Wait.
Yes.
It might be useful for the public, for you to draw the distinction between what a condominium is versus that a condominium is not a building, that it's a form of ownership. It's a way to own something. It's really not a construction type.
Well, it's, yeah, there's a general, I don't know what you exactly would call it, but the definition of a multifamily unit under the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance is a number of things, including an apartment, you know, a townhouse, a duplex. But one of the things that's mentioned is a condominium. All right, well, again, a condominium is not a particular style of building. A condominium is a legal form of ownership where you don't have a fee ownership. You have an interest in the whole with other owners. But so condominiums can be townhouses, they can be duplexes, they can be stacked buildings, they can be single-family detached buildings. It's really a form of ownership. So traditionally, it's been interpreted under the Sussex County Code that a condominium is a multifamily, and basically they're all treated the same as far as zoning is concerned.
So on this one, or others like this, visually, if you drive by, it's going to look like a single-family individual home development and not, you know, a multifamily apartment building or condominium building.
That's correct.
Visually.
Like I said, I think I mentioned it. It's like a mini subdivision.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything's on a smaller scale. And again, let me just restate that they're not the buildings. They are just the footprint of the buildable areas.
Can I submit these into the...
Not up to me.
Right. Sure. So Marlin Chase nearby, which is on Cedar Neck Road, is more or less identical to this. Except I think these homes are slightly wider. They're 40 feet wide, and the homes at Marlin Chase are 36 feet wide. But here's some photographs.
So Jamie,
give me Jamie.
Yeah, so we can make sure that.
And the last thing I want to do, which will just take me a minute to explain, I do want to submit proposed conditions for your consideration. Did something a little bit different here because I'm working off of the prior approved conditional use. What I tried to do on these proposed conditions, I tried to follow the conditions that had been adopted for conditional use 2206 as closely as possible. So I provided a summary page there basically showing what I did And then we have the proposed conditions, and I also attached the original conditions for conditional use 2206. And basically, if you read the summary, what we've done is five of the original conditions have been amended, and that's because of just the change of the use and things. I actually added one condition. That's a condition that says this is going to be an age-restricted over 55 community. And four conditions were deleted, and they were things that just didn't apply any longer. For instance, one of the conditions was talking about the 2.2-acre piece on the other side of the street. And then 10 of the original conditions are unchanged. They're identical to what was originally approved. So that basically concludes our presentation, other than any questions you may have.
All right, sir. Well, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Mears.
I don't have any questions, but I got a couple comments. Mr. Fuqua is exactly right. This project, this applicant's product will be significantly better than what was approved before. I'm not testifying for the applicant by any means, but this will be more pleasing in your community if it's approved. And the condominium discussion, a lot of people hear the word condominium and they think of sea colony. You know, that's what the perception of most people's thoughts about a condominium are, and that's simply not the truth. That's all I got. Did you read rules of the commission?
At least it wasn't socks.
Well, that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir.
That's a first in, I think, 20 years of doing this.
I'm glad I was a witness to it.
Your face is bright red.
Yes, it is.
That's all right.
Happens to the best of us.
That's right.
It was bound to happen to somebody.
Yeah, there you go.
Ms. Wingate?
I don't have any questions, but I would echo Mr. Mears' comments about the aesthetically pleasing design of this versus what was already approved.
And the architecture of the buildings.
Collins.
Yeah, I'll echo those comments and also say while I'm disappointed to see what was originally proposed not there, because it was probably more aligned to workforce housing. I'm sure you'll be bringing us workforce housing soon.
And Mike has done that in the past, too, and will be doing it in the future.
Okay.
No other comments.
White House?
I did have one, if I may, Mr. Chairman. And yes. It's more a design question, and it's more relevant to the site plan review stage. But the question is about the buffer on the northern side and the rectangles that are being shown for the buildings. And I guess it's a question for the applicant's engineer. Is that the footprint of the building, or is that that's the totality of where the building and its rear yard will be? And it's what I'm driving at is there going to be a building right against the buffers? So, are you no backyards? So.
No, that's the building and the rear yard fits within that 40 by 90 feet.
Thank you.
And so people often get, the house will sometimes go back to 60 to 65 feet, but people often order these courtyards that we offer, or they order a bump out in the master bedroom. But if you take all the options that you can possibly put on the back of a house, including the outdoor component, it can sometimes approach 90 feet, but it usually doesn't. And that, so it includes the yard within that 40 by 90 feet.
Perfect. Thank
Typically,
you.
These yards are like maintained by the association or something,
yeah,
right?
That's why the ownership is helpful, because particularly the older demographic consider the fact that they don't own their own lot as evidence that the community will maintain the lot. That's one of their first questions is, do I have to cut my own grass, or do you guys have somebody that does that? We say, look, we do it, and in this particular case, you don't even own your lot. Like, you know, it's owned by the collective group of you, and your HOA will have a maintenance agreement to maintain it.
Okay. Counselor.
A question, and Mr. Shell might want to come back up, because this is one for him, and it really is not related to this project specifically, but we were having a conversation unrelated to actually to zoning about over 55 communities in Sussex County. I understand one of the reasons that they're done is not only because of the market supports it, but also it impacts traffic counts probably and what you have to do as far as dealt out improvements. But I guess the question is, based on what Mr. Fuqua said about Sussex County's demographics and the market, why aren't more communities done as over 55 communities? You know, it seems like that by default they all are anyway. You know, why do we sort of see some and some not? just curious.
So that's a great question, and the answer is typically, you're cutting off about 15 to sometimes 20% of your market by making it active adult.
But you still have to have a certain percentage that's open to anybody, as I recall.
Right, but no one markets that. So every time we've ever done a 55-plus community, we've never had a single buyer come in and attempt to buy there that didn't qualify. Now, in theory, legally, they could. A 27-year-old married to a 25-year-old with four kids could show up and say, no, I'm buying a house. And we can't legally prevent them until 20% of the total number of homes are sold to people that don't qualify as active adult. But the spirit of full disclosure, the reason we did it here is traffic count. Our 180 single-family homes without the active adult designation had a traffic count that was slightly higher than the approved plan. And when we made it active adult, the traffic account was less, and we didn't feel like redoing everything with DelDOT. So they said, look, as long as your new plan has a lower traffic count, we'll let you utilize the approved off-site improvements and approved entrance from the 200-unit apartment plan and not have to redo it. And I didn't want to have to revisit DelDOT on this. Right. So that's the primary.
So it was an economic or marketing decision because for other projects, you wouldn't want to say they're over 55, or any developer wouldn't, because marketing-wise, you'd be excluding the larger market of people.
True, but there's a debate between whether or not the market for people seeking out an active adult project is higher than the number of under 55 families you might lose. So, for example, the people that buy here, it's possible we're going to sell some to people that would have otherwise looked in Lewis or looked elsewhere, but were specifically interested in an active adult community and didn't want to live next to a bunch of kids.
Right. Yeah.
So that's an ongoing debate, but I can tell you, when there's a reason, such as traffic count or such as voluntary school impact fees, to make a community active adult, you'll see a ton more of them because it really doesn't hurt your market much in Eastern Sussex County.
Right.
Most of your buyers are going to be 55 plus anyway.
Anyway, right. And I think Mr. Fuqua answered the question with his proposed conditions, because of that, if this is approved, it has to be a condition that it be that over 55 community. But it looks like that's in the proposed conditions, I think. So.
And what Preston just said, the over 55 community is defined by federal law.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's regulatory things.
And it has to be, I'm familiar with it enough too, it has to be in the restrictive covenants, and it has to state for fair housing that you still have to have it available to people that aren't the active adults.
There's an 80-20 rule, and you have to qualify under a certain formula for age and things like that.
Okay. No, just an interesting conversation. I was just curious about that aspect of it, since it seemed like every place in Sussex County would qualify. So, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Staff, anything?
None from me, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2401 OA Sundance Club LLC in favor? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Hi. For the record, I'm Martin Lampner. I live at 205 Chad Place, Ocean View, Delaware, and I'm one of the co-chairs of Evans Farm Watch.
Okay.
So we were the troublemakers last time. And my co-chair is behind me. He has a few things he'll want to say. In fact, if it's okay, I'm going to invite him to join me.
All right.
Well, Mr. Fuqua stolen most of my thunder. I was going to give you a quick review of what we didn't like about the Evans Farm apartments. And let me be clear, as he was, this is not because we don't believe there's a need for workforce housing. We know we're the people who suffer because there aren't enough nurses and other folks, you know, willing to work in our corner of Sussex County. Many travel in from as far away as Seaford to hold those jobs, and that makes problems for us as some of those older adults we were just talking about. So we really do favor this, the expansion of that. But we also recognized, as was pointed out again by Mr. Fuqua, that what was being proposed was completely out of scale with anything else in the area. We were talking about 1 and 2 family homes, all with, by and large, with integrated garages or garages behind the home as mandated. We found that the project that was proposed previously ignored the guidance in the comprehensive plan. comprehensive plan very clearly says things need to look like what they will be surrounded by, and this clearly did not. So we're very happy to see this. We also shared the concern over traffic. One of the things we're very pleased about is that Mr. Schell did reach out to us quite a ways back now, over a year, to discuss what he would like to do. So we've had some input, we've had ongoing discussions. The change in the buffer was something that we did ask for. We fully support the elimination of the emergency exit at paved road. We recognize safety does require a path, and we in fact had quite a frank conversation about that. The owners that we represent that live in Banks Acres all are opposed because it potentially could end up being a road into their neighborhood. As a access for an emergency vehicle and an unpaved surface, it addresses their concerns. So again, we're very happy with what's been proposed. We like the fact that it will generate less traffic. There is a chronic problem there. Part of what motivated the opposition back in 21 was the fact that at the traffic light at Old Mill and Atlantic Avenue, in the summer, you can sit through five cycles at that light. And Bruce, you should know, you live in the neighborhood. Our side streets, okay, thank you, Holly. But the issue for us is that, in fact, White's Evans Farm Watch will be going through a transition. We started out as a single-purpose organization to oppose that property. Right now, we represent 14 communities on White's Neck, and we will be becoming an association for those to work towards improvements. One of the things, again, we are very pleased with was Mr. Schell, in one of our conversations, agreed to help us work on the traffic issues because they are critical. And they will be critical to this development, particularly as 55 plus. One of the biggest problems we face right now is under certain conditions, emergency vehicles cannot easily leave White's Neck. Again, we don't oppose the idea of workforce housing, but you can't drop a three-story building at single detached garages that circle the neighborhood, and I was the one who said that, because it did. It turned its back on the adjoining communities. This community looks towards its adjoining communities, and therefore we strongly support it.
My name's Tom Golia.
My other coach?
Co-conspirator of the Bevins Farm Watch. And I'm a resident of Bay Forest, which is a 940-home community that is adjacent to this property. I live on Scissorbill Road, 31017, which goes right up that left side of the community.
The circle.
Right. Let me make it clear, I do not represent the board of Bay Forest. There's a letter in the file from the board indicating their preference for this plan. But I can tell you that up and down Scissorbill, I'm known as Tom, the Evans Farm Watch guy, because we did the work on the previous application. My neighbors and I really endorse this plan, and I commend Mr. Schell and Mr. Fuqua. That was a great summary.
Sir, I'm going to ask you to direct your comments to the commission, please.
Well, I want to commend them for the
presentation. You can do
that later.
So
I just want to say that my neighbors up Scissorbill, which are adjacent to this, are in support of this new plan. And you know, Mr. Lampner has told you the other reasons that we favor it. And on a personal note, Mr. Chairman, I have a birthday at the end of the month. I really would like to know where you got the hat. You don't have to give it to me. I'm not asking for a favor. I just would like to know where you got
it. I'll let you borrow it. I can't give it to you, but I'll let you borrow it.
Well, I was a New Year's Eve baby, so it's coming up soon.
All right. Happy birthday in advance.
Thank you. And happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
One last thing I would mention is, again, I'm the president of White's Creek Manor, and we polled our owners and some of the other associations. It was a board action. Every single owner favored this, again, because of the issues of traffic.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, anyone else like to speak in favor? Okay, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2401?
Wait, did we have somebody speaking in favor?
Was there somebody in the back? Oh, okay.
Not in opposition.
No, I understand.
I have nothing to say
I'm sorry.
About the application. I have worked
for pricing.
My
name is Conaway, Joe Conaway. I'm here for another client or two, but someone mentioned workforce housing, and I will tell you that as chairman of the Sussex Economic Development Action Committee, tomorrow I will appoint Mr. Shell, who volunteered to head our efforts to bring workforce housing to this community. So nothing about the application, but I believe you mentioned workforce houses. We're going after it as the economic development because the need for doctors, which we also have the medical committee going on, but he has and will be the chairman as we move forward to try to help this situation.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Conaway.
All right. Okay. Anyone like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any further questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the afternoon to see if we make a decision or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And that completes our public hearings. We are scheduled for a recess, but since it's only 4:16, why don't we just keep rolling? Everybody good? Everybody good with that? Everybody good?